Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Kuf Aleph. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will be beginning from the third line from the bottom of Daf Kuf Beis Omid Beis. Before we begin the shiur, let us glance at the outside margin under our heading Nosei Mivneh. The Nosei is the topic and Mivneh is a structural note. In this case, we've combined the two, featuring the different markings that you will see in the upcoming sugya. At this point, we will see a house marking. This represents Gimel Deos, three opinions. Ha'oise Kiddush Bebeis HaKnesses Ma Dino Behagio Habaisa. One who heard Kiddush in the shul, let us say Friday night, he heard Kiddush in shul, and then he gets home to his family, what is the din? This issue will break down into two subtopics. One is Aleph, Legabi Amiras Kiddush, She'elas Kiddush B'mokom Suda. Is there a need, once he gets home, to say Kiddush again? And the issue will revolve around the need for Kiddush, the need or possibly no need for Kiddush to be recited at the place where one will eat his meal. The second point, Legabi Hatzorich Levorich Shenis Al Hemshech Shtias Yayin, Mishum Sheshino Es Mekomo. The second issue will be, is there a need, once he gets home, to make a brocha again on the wine, a borei pri hagefen, the brocha rishona on the wine. After all, he heard the brocha in shul, he may have made kiddush in shul and drank the wine there. Once he gets home and he wants to continue drinking wine, does he have to make another brocha because of shinui mokum, because of a change in location, change between the original brocha, Birchas Hananin, the original brocha Rishona, and his second place where he wants to continue drinking. We mentioned that there are three deos. The house marking appears in the Gemara, and you can see Rav and Shmuel have this marking around them, and to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, you'll notice a 1 and 2 in a little house, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text itself. There is also an indication that a third shita will appear at the bottom of Kuf Aleph Omid Beis. So if Kuf Aleph Omid Aleph, let's say that again, a number 3 that will appear 3 lines from the bottom of Kuf Aleph Omid Aleph. So if you scan down Kuf Aleph Omid Aleph, 3 lines from the bottom, you will notice Rabbi Yochanan's name also in a box, and you will see that how he represents a third opinion on the topics that we have mentioned. So now turning to the Gemara. Oysom b'nei Odom. Shekitshu Bebeis HaKnesses. We're, once again, 3 lines from the bottom of Kuf Omid Beis, the last word on the line. Those people who made Kiddush in Shul, and then they went home to their houses. Omarav, Yidei Yayin Lo Yotzu, Yidei Kiddush Yotzu. As far as Yidei Yayin is a reference to the need for making a new Brocha, Birchas Borei Pri HaGefen. They will have a need. They will need to repeat the Borei Pri HaGefen on wine they want to drink in their homes. However, they will not need to repeat the Kiddush. Ushmuel Omar Af Yidei Kiddush Lo Yotzu. Shmuel says that they have not even fulfilled the Kiddush that they recited in Shul. In other words, though they made Kiddush in Shul, when they get home, they'll have to make Kiddush again. The Gemara will now go over the Shitas Rav and Shmuel. We've squiggle underlined their names here. You see Rav, and the third line from the top at the beginning of line, you see Shmuel, asking questions on each of them. Elo the Rav, who said he was Yotze Kiddush in Shul, Lama Le Likdushe Bebese. Why does he have to make Kiddush again at home? Answer, Kidei Lahotzi Bonov Uvnei Beiso. He has a family. He has children and his wife that are at home. They did not hear Kiddush in Shul, so upon getting home, he will make Kiddush again to enable them to fulfill their Kiddush requirement. Now turning to Shmuel, Ushmuel Lomali Likidushe Bibote Kinishta, Bebe Kinishta, according to Shmuel, that you're not Yotze anything in what you did in Shul. So what is the need for a Kiddush recitation whatsoever in Shul? The Gemara answers, La Fuke Orchim Yedechoy Vason, the Ochlu Vishasu Vigonu Bebe Kinishta. The person making Kiddush in Shul is in order to enable guests that eat, drink, and sleep in the shul. In other words, the shul was a place for travelers to stay over. So they would stay over on Shabbos in the shul. They would have their meals there and sleep in the shul. And they would hear Kiddush in shul through this man who, though he himself is going home, his recitation of Kiddush in the shul would enable them to fulfill their requirements. And they're, in fact, since they're eating in shul, for them, the Kiddush is b'mokom su'uda. The person who's making Kiddush, who's not eating in the shul and is going home, the reason he himself does not fulfill the Kiddush requirement is because his Kiddush is not b'mokom su'uda. His mokom su'uda is at home. The Ozda Shmuel Itameh, Shmuel, in ruling thusly, is consistent with what he said elsewhere. The Omar Shmuel, Ein Kiddush Elo b'mokom su'uda. Kiddush is not fulfilled unless it's recited where the person will have his meal. Before we go further, we just now encountered a new marking. We have Shmuel in a diamond. This is featured on the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, Gimel Rabbonim, three rabbis, Shesoivrim, Ein Kiddush Ela B'mokom Su'uda. So as we go down the page, we'll notice Shmuel, Rav Huna, and Rabba, and we also have little letterings in the space, the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara. You'll notice an aleph in a diamond, and this enables you to scan down and see quickly where each shita appears. Each one of them holding the same idea that Ein Kiddush Ela B'mokom Su'uda. We've also underlined Shmuel's name because of the Gemara. In the next few lines, you'll see a reference to Shmuel so as to draw your attention to the fact that we're featuring Shmuel in the immediate next couple lines. He's also been underlined. But before going further, we also want to take note of another marking, and we have a little brackets that follows this, the point that we just left off at, and the bracket length indicator, you can see a dashed vertical line, dashed dotted vertical line to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara, indicating the length of this bracketed section. On the inside margin, we have a note, Sograyim L'shem Diluk. These brackets are for skipping purposes, that means initial skipping. L'shmor al haretzef, to enable us to maintain the continuity of the Gemara. And we'll demonstrate that in a moment. Besocha sograyim, ha-gemora dona b'mahu nechshav mokoim echod. In the brackets, there will be a discussion concerning what is considered the same place. We mentioned that by virtue of the fact that someone is going from one place to another, that influences the halacha. What happens when he is in the same place? And that will be the subject of the Gemara within the brackets, which we will get to shortly. However, going over the diamonded expression of Shmuel, we said Shmuel is letame, d'yomar Shmuel ein kiddush ela b'mokom su'uda. If we skip the brackets for a moment, the af Rav Huna savar ein kiddush ela b'mokom su'uda. And then you'll notice, even though we don't have brackets right now, but if you skip to the Rabbah, you'll notice, V'af Rabbah Sovar Ein Kiddush Ela B'mokom Su'uda. So that with the use of the diamonds, one is able to see the pattern and consistency of this section of the Gemara. All three shitas holding that Kiddush is recited only where one eats. Otherwise, according to these opinions, if one says Kiddush at a place other than where he has his meal, he will not fulfill his Kiddush requirement. All that having been said, we'll now return to the Gemara and read it in a straight-through fashion. Shmuel just having said Ein Kiddush Mokom Masuda Savur Mina. Notice we've squiggle underlined this expression. This is in order to give you a feeling of a response that follows in the next line, where Omar Lahu, there's a response to what we're about to say. So we see this back and forth with the squiggle underline marking. Savur Mina Hani Mili. The thought is, this will be changed, however, the Hava Mina is that Hani Mili, that one, this is that one is not Yotze. Mibayas Labayas, that he made Kiddush in one house and then went to eat his meal in another house. Avol Mimokoim Lomokoim Bechad Beisalo. But if one were to have made Kiddush in, let's say, a ground floor, and then went up to an attic, to an aliyah, a second floor, and had his meal there, that would not pose a problem. In other words, there would be no need to repeat the Kiddush. Well, Omar Lahu Rav Onan Bar Tachlifa, Rav Onan responds to that Havamina and says, Zinnin Sagin, many times, Havet Koimno Kamei Shmuel, I was in the presence of Shmuel, V'nochis Me'igro La'aro V'hodar Mekadesh, and Nochis, he went down, Me'igro, from an upper story, where he may have made Kiddush, and was going to have his meal on the ground floor, and he went from the roof to the Aro, to the ground floor, V'hodar Mekadesh, and made Kiddush again. So you see from Shmuel himself that from one place in the house to another, let's say from one story to another, there is a need to repeat the Kiddush if the original Kiddush was not said B'mokom Suda. However, this is not necessarily the case if one is in one room, and in one corner of the room in which he plans to eat his meal, he makes Kiddush and then moves over to another corner of the same room to eat his meal. That already would be considered the same place. But going from one story to the next, one floor to the next, that is considered not the Oysa Mokum, that if he makes Kiddush on one floor and then has his meal on another floor of the building, he would have to make Kiddush again. V'af Rav Huna Savar Ein Kiddush Ela B'Mokim Suda. Rav Huna also adopts this approach. The Rav Huna Kodesh, Rav Huna made Kiddush, V'is'akra Le Shraga, and the candle, the light by which he was going to have his meal, it went out. V'aili Le Lemone Lebe Ginone De Rabba Brei De Have Shraga, and Aili Le Lemone, he brought his wares with his food to Bei Ginone, the place that his son Rabo Bray, his son, lived. Bei Ginone is called Beis Chupas Beno. This is a place that when a person's first son gets married, so he is provided a special dwelling. So in this case, Rav Huna went to his son's dwelling, to his son Rabo's place, where there was light. And there he was going to have his meal. V'kodesh v'to'am midi. Notice we've dashed underlined this word v'kodesh. This is in addition to the dash underlining of the kodesh first, that Rav Huna made Kiddush, and then he's making Kiddush again. And the reason for that is because the first Kiddush was in a place that he, in fact, did not eat his meal because the light went out. He went to his son's location, and where he was going to eat his meal, and therefore needed to make Kiddush again. Alma kosavar ein Kiddush ela b'mokom suda. From this you see that Rav Huna holds that Kiddush is not, one does not fulfill his Kiddush requirement unless he makes it in the place that he has his meal. V'af Rabba savar ein Kiddush ela b'mokom suda. Rabba as well holds that Kiddush is not fulfilled unless it's where a person plans to eat. Before we go further, let's just take note of the fact that at this point in the Gemara, we have a long point. It's featured by the Nun, Nekuda, a point that appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line. All of the lines opposite this vertical dashed line will be to make this point, that Ein Kiddush Ela B'Mokom Suda. And you can see at the end of the long point, we've dashed underlined in the Gemara itself that phrase. We also will be introducing a triangle around Abaye's name, and a few lines later the triangle will flip over. These represent Shnei, on the outside margin, we've indicated these two triangles, Shnei Kivunim Shel Abaye, two different directions of thought that Abaye will be presenting. So we continue in the Gemara with Rabo, V'yaf Rabo Sover Ein Kiddush Ela B'Mokom Suda. The Omar Abaye tells us an incident, Ki Havino Be Mor. when I was learning in the yeshiva of Rabbo, Mor is Rabbo, ki have mekadish, when he would make kiddush, and we, the students, wanted to go home, Omar Lon, Rabbo would instruct us, ta'imu midi, taste something, eat something, Dilmo ad azlisu l'ushpiza, maybe by the time you get back to where you are staying, the ushpiza, the inn, or where you sleep, misakro l'hushraga velo mikadish l'chu b'beis achila. And if the light goes out, by the time you get home, you will not have made kiddush where you are going to be eating. They did not eat by Rabbo. Ubi kiddush d'hocha, and the kiddush that you're hearing by me here in my house, if you don't eat anything here, lo nafkisu, you will not fulfill your requirement. Once again, Rabbo is telling his students that if they hear his kiddush and don't eat anything here, but rather continue their meal, they start their meal in the place that they're sleeping, that they stay, they won't fulfill their kiddush requirement with the kiddush that they're hearing here. The ain kiddush ela b'mokom suda, and therefore Rabbo recommended that upon hearing his kiddush, the students, should eat something as well, thereby making his kiddush into a kiddush b'mokom suuda. The Gemara asks, Eini, is this really so that Abaye would hold like this? V'homar Abaye, kol mili demar, every halachic action of Rabbo, Mor is a reference to Rabbo, have Ovid Kirav. Rabbo would follow Rav's approach. And Rav, we saw at the beginning of today's shiur, holds that one does fulfill Kiddush even if it's not B'mokom Suda. The brackets that we see in the Gemara here are designed to indicate that we have essentially stated the question, we finished the question at this point. The brackets enable us to skip to the answer that appears right afterwards. Within the brackets, the Gemara will feature three incidents where Rabbo does not follow Rav. Namely, even though Abaye said Rabbo always follows Rav's rulings, that's true with the exception of three rulings which are not germane to our sugya. So we'll go over this Gemara a couple of times so as to get the initial pshat in the Gemara, and then go over the whole thing, the whole piece of Gemara with all of the contents. So the question is asked, how is it that Rabbo is so insistent on Kiddush B'mokom Suda when we know that, according to Abaye himself, we know that Rabbo paskins, he rules like Rav, and Rav has a lenient approach to this matter, holding that one fulfills Kiddush even Shelo B'mokom Suda. So if the students would have heard Kiddush by Rabbo, even without eating anything by Rabbo, they L'cha'ora should have been fulfilled, they should have fulfilled their Kiddush requirement, even though they're going to eat somewhere else. The Gemara answers after the brackets. You'll notice the length of the brackets is indicated by a bracket length indicator, a dashed, dotted, vertical line to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. The Gemara answers, when we mentioned that Rabbah holds like Rav, that is true in a limited sense. Kechumre de Rav have Ovid, kekule de Rav lo have Ovid. In general, Rabbah subscribes to the stringencies of Rav, not to the leniencies of Rav. With respect to the issue of the Kiddush, Rav's position was a lenient position. Therefore, Rabbo didn't subscribe to that in the first place. Therefore, Rabbo was insistent on Kiddush B'mokom Suda. In general, Rabbo follows, as we just mentioned, the stringencies of Rav. This is true with the exception of three items, three cases, three halachic instances where Rabbo does not accept the stringency of Rav and adopts the approach that Shmuel takes in these three cases, which is a point of leniency. Let's now go over this section again with the brackets included. So we raise the question, how can you tell us that Rabbo insists on Kiddush B'Makom Suda, going to the inverted triangle, the Omar Abaye, Kol Mili Demar, all of Rabbo's rulings are Havei Ovid K'Rav. He rules like Rav, and Rav does not insist on Kiddush B'Makom Suda. Labar Mihani Tlas, with the following three exceptions, where Rabbo does not go like Rav, the Ovid K'Shmuel, where he paskins like Shmuel. In the following three instances, we will discover that Rav is Machmir and Shmuel is Mekil. And in these following instances, Rabba chooses the lenient approach of Shmuel, and they are, one, Matirin Mibeged Lebeged. This has to do with the removal of tzitzis from the corner of a good garment. And can one remove tzitzis from one garment and put them into another garment? Number two, Umadlikin Miner Liner. This has to do with the lighting of candles. Let us say you have a Ner Hanukkah. You have a Neros set up on a Hanukkah menorah, and you have lit one candle. Can you use that candle as opposed to a match? Can you light from one candle to the next candle? So Shmuel says you're allowed to do that, and Rav disagrees. Rav is stringent. And number three, Valocha Krebi Shimon Begreira. The issue of Greira is a Hilchus Shabbos, a Shabbos related halocha, which is described in the following source. Desan Reb Shimon Omer. Reb Shimon represents a lenient approach that says, Gorer Oda Mita Kise Vesafsol B'Shabbos, a person is allowed to drag a bed, a chair, or a bench on Shabbos on a dirt floor, Ubelvat Shilo Yiskaven Lasos Kritz, provided one does not have an intention to create the ditch that might result upon dragging the bed. So if one drags the bed without the intention of making a ditch, which is which otherwise would represent a problem on Shabbos, if one's pure intention is simply to move the bed from one place to another and a ditch might result, since he has no kavana, he has no intention for the ditch, Rabbi Shimon rules one is allowed to do that. And in accordance with Rabbi Shimon, we find that Shmuel rules like that. It's a lenient ruling. Rav happens to disagree with that lenient ruling. So with the exception of these three cases, Rabba in general follows Rav's halachic rulings. And if that be the case, so why does Rabba insist on their eating where Kiddush is recited when Rav himself, Rav, does not hold from Kiddush B'Makom Suda? So the Gemara answers, that which we said that Rabba paskins like Rav, that's only true with regard to Rav's chumras. Kechumrei de Rav have ovid. He follows Rav's chumras, by the way, with the exception of the three items mentioned in the brackets, where even though Rav was machmir, Rabba did not accept that. However, kikulei de Rav lo have ovid. Rabba never ruled as a shita according to Rav's leniencies. And in the case of Kiddush B'Makom Suda, Rav represented a lenient ruling whereby he did not require Kiddush B'Makom Suda. Rabba, though, doesn't rule like Rav's leniencies. Hence, Rabba comes out as holding that Kiddush must be B'Makom Suda. As we go on in the Gemara, we now notice another house marking, and it's numbered 3. This is a third opinion following Rav and Shmuel that we saw at the bottom of Kuf Amud Beis. And as we go on in more, you'll see how Rabbi Yochanan represents a third approach. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Af Yidei Yayin Nami Yotsu. He who made Kiddush in Shul, and as part of the Kiddush recitation, he also makes a Borei Priya Geffen and drinks the wine. When he gets home, he has no need for repeating the Brocha of Borei Priya Geffen, the Birchas Hanenin, on the wine. The Ozda Rabbi Yochanan Letame. Rabbi Yochanan, in saying that he is Yotze, not only the Kiddush, like Rav had said, but he's also Yotze the Brichas Hanenin, which is new. This is a new Shita. No one said that before. Rav and Shmuel both agreed that he would not be Yotze Yayin. Namely, they would hold, he has to make a new Bracha because of the change in location. Rabbi Yochanan says, no need to make a new Bracha on the wine. The also Rabbi Yochanan Tameh, Rabbi Yochanan is consistent with what he has said elsewhere. The Omer of Chonon bar Abai Omer of Pedos, Omer of Yochanan, Echod Shinui Yayin. The Echod Shinui Mokoim. And we've dashed underlined Shinui Mokoim because this is the main point for the immediate discussion. Ein Tzorech Levarech. Let's go over this point again. Rabbi Yochanan says, whether there be a change in wine, in other words, if someone started drinking wine that was supplied from a particular barrel, and then as his meal went on, he was presented with wine from another barrel, and it may even have a different taste to it. As far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, once he made the bracha on the first cup of wine, the second wine that's brought from another barrel, that's called Shinu Yayin, does not necessitate a new Borei Pri HaGefen. There is another area of halacha that is not the purview of this particular sugya that concerns a bracha known as Hatov Vameitiv, which is a bracha made upon the change of wine. In other words, if one was drinking one type of wine and another type of wine is presented, there is a need for the making of a bracha called Hatov Vameitiv, which is not something we are going to discuss at this in the context of this year. We do, however, draw your attention to the Tosfos at the bottom of Kuf Aleph Omed Aleph. Dibur Amaslu Shinu Yayin Ein Tzorech Levarech. The Tosfos gets involved with this discussion and its many facets. However, Rabbi Yochanan is telling us right now, as far as the Bruch of Borei Pri HaGefen is concerned, whether there be a change in the wine or whether there be a change in place, that's Echad Shinu Mokum that we see at the top of Omed Beis, Ein Tzorech Levarech. There is no need to make a second Borei Pri HaGefen. The Gemara asks a kasha from a Tanaic source, and you can see in the frame the following source says, Shinui Mokoim Tzorech Levarech. Shinui Yayin Ein Tzorech Levarech. Now with the markings, we've attempted to focus the attention on the main point. The dashed underline Shinui Mokoim can be compared with the earlier Shinui Mokoim phrase on the same line. When Rabbi Yochanan was speaking, we squiggle underline the Ein Tzorech expression, and in the Tanaic source, we squiggle underline the Tzorech word. This enables you to see the contrast, and hence the question that in this Tanaic source, Shinui Mokoim does necessitate the making of a new bracha. This, by the way, is a ruling that's consistent with Rav and Shmuel that said, Yedei Yayin Lo Yotsu, and that's a point that you can see in the Rashbam. Tiyufta de Rabbi Yochanan, Tiyufta. This represents a repudiation of Rabbi Yochanan's lenient approach with regard to the Barucha of Borei Pri HaGefen. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a geometric form that will be appearing very shortly. We see a triangle at the outside, on the outside margin, the Mivneh, we see a triangle featured. Shnei Memros Shel Rav Chisda. We'll see two comments of Rav Chisda. Before we get to the second comment of Rav Chisda, there's another point we'd like to make structurally. This first comment of Rav Chisda will be made in the name of Rav Huna, and that's indicated by the dashed underline Mishmei de Rav Huna that you see five lines from the top. In contrast with that, the second comment of Rav Chisda, you'll see a dashed underline as well, that he says Mishmei de Navshe, where Rav Chisda is saying halacha on his own, not quoting Rav Huna. When we get to that second comment of Rav Chisda, there will appear a diamond which has a roll unto itself, which will feature when we get to that point. So now turning to the Gemara, Yosef Rav Ini Bar Ovin Kamei de Rav Chisda. V'Yosef Rav Chisda V'Ko'omar Mishmei de Rav Huna. Rav Ini was in the presence of Rav Chisda when Rav Chisda said over the following in the name of Rav Huna. Ha di amris shinui mokoim tzorech levarech. That which has been said, that change in place necessitates the making of a new bracha, lo shanu elo mibayis labayis. That's true only with regard from going from one house to another house. Aval mimokoim lemokoim loi. But from one place to another place in the same house, there would be no need to make a new bracha of borei pri hagefen. Before we go any further, we like to point out from time to time that our shiurim are not designed to be sources on which to base one's halacha lemaisa, one's practical halachic applications. And many times, in order to avoid getting involved with nitty-gritties and fine points and points of controversy in issues of halacha lemaisa, we restrict ourselves to a very simple translation. And this is a good example where we're translating in a very definitive form that the words bias and mokum. However, when one delves into the practical halachic applications of these things, one will notice that there's certain types of revisions in terms of the translation of these terms when it comes to halacha lemaisa application. But for our purposes, this is sufficient. So what we're saying so far is that the need for making a new bracha based on shinui mokom, this is true when you're going from one bias to another bias, from one house to another house, but from one place to another place in the same location, there is no need to make a new bracha. Omar le Rav Idi bar Ovin. Rav Idi, who was sitting in the presence of Rav Chisda when he said this point, Rav Idi now speaks up and says to Rav Chisda, "Hachi tanino le b'masnisa debei Rav Hinnik." Thusly, it was taught in a Tanaic source that was said over in the yeshiva of Rav Hinnik. The Amri le, another version name-wise, is b'masnisa debei bar Hinnik. Kavosech. Kavosech means like you. The second version, name-wise, which we've emphasized with a squiggle line at the beginning of line, the Amrile, we use a squiggle line very often in our marking system to indicate two versions of whatever. In this case, the first version has it as Debei Rav Hinnik, and we've dashed underlined that name, the Rav Hinnik. And in the second version, there's a reference to a Tanaic source that was set over in the yeshiva of Bar Hinnik. The word Rav changed to the word Bar. Kavosech means that Rav Chisda's teaching in the name of Rav Huna, Rav Idi tells us what can be backed up by Tanaic literature. The next line and a half we've put in brackets, and we also have an indication on the side with our starred comment that the Rashbam does not have this in his Girsa, in his version, so we will not read it, not deal with that. After the brackets, V'su Yosef Rav Chisda V'komer Mishmeid Nadav Shei, and Rav Chisda continued and said a point on his own. And we've indicated this with a diamond and called it number one. The reason for this marking, this is explained in the outside margin under the Nosei Mivne heading. The diamond represents two deos, two opinions, bidvarim shetu'unin brocha achroina b'mekoimam, regarding food items whose final brocha, namely the brocha that one makes after one finishes eating. In addition to the well-known Birchas Hamazon, there are also something called Me'ein Shalosh, a bracha that's sometimes referred to as Al HaMichya, which actually includes different kinds of Me'ein Shalosh brachas, including a bracha of Al HaGefen for the drinking of wine, upon completion of drinking the wine, and Al HaPeros for one who eats fruits that are of the seven varieties Israel was blessed with. Those are final brachas that are referred to as bracha achrona b'makoman, that or dvarim shetunim bracha achrona b'makoman. Im shinui makom have mechayev lachsor levarich bracha rishona. Does the change in place upon eating items like that, like we just described, items whose brocha achrona is supposed to be said in the place that one eats. Let us say, let's just use a simple example. If someone is eating a piece of cake, and he changes his location and continues eating a piece of cake in another location, does he have to make a new bracha rishona? So, turning to the Gemara, Rav Chisda says, Mishmei Denafshei, the following, Ha di amris, shinui mokam tzorach levarech, that which we've said till now, that change in place necessitates the making of a new first bracha, new brichas anenin, lo amoran, ela bedvorim she'ein tunin bracha lachrein b'mekoman. This is true with regard to those kind of food items whose final bracha does not have to be made where he ate. Using a simple example, if someone, let us say, drank a cup of water, so he made a bracha of shakol mi'ed bedvoro. When he finishes drinking the cup of water, he needs to make a final bracha, but the halacha does not insist on his making the final bracha where he drank the cup of water. So, items like that, whose final bracha does not have to be made in the place that one ate, when one changes his location and wants to continue eating or drinking that kind of thing, the kind of thing that doesn't require brocha achrona b'mkom, and he will have to make a new brocha rishona. Avol, however, dvorim hatunin brocha la'achareihem b'mekoman, items that do require the recitation of the final brocha in the same place that one ate or drank that substance, ein tzorech levorech. If he changes his location, he does not have to make a new first bracha, a new brichas anenin. My taima, why is there no need for making a new brichas anenin? The answer, the kiva kama hoder. Instead of translating that expression, let us take a look at the Rashbam, the lower part of the page. Lekive kama hodar, klomar. When you see the expression klomar in the Rashi or the Rashbam, that already tells you that the explanation is something beyond the literal translation. Klomar, al das suda harishona hu ochel achshav l'sayem sudaso. Since the item that he was eating was described as an item that's toun brocha achrona b'makoman, when he changes his location, he is really continuing the meal or the eating of whatever he had been eating or drinking, in the case of wine, in the original location. Let's go over that phrase in the Rashbam again. Al das suda rishon hu ochel achshav l'sayim sudaso. He is continuing in the second place with the mindset of simply finishing, completing that which he started in the first place. So, by virtue of the fact that the type of item is an item that maybe for convenience sake we'll refer to a significant item, halachically significant, the fact that he's continuing in a second location doesn't represent a break as such, a break that would otherwise necessitate the recitation again of a new first bracha, new birchas hanenin. Turning back to the Gemara, avol dvorim hatuunin bracha lachrein b'mkoman, things that do require the final bracha in their original place. This is what we've already spelled out, and we're just reading this again in the Gemara. We mentioned ein tzorach levorach, and the Gemara explained, like we already saw, my taimo lekiva kama hodar. He is simply continuing what he started in the first place. Rav Sheshes Omar, Rav Sheshes disagrees, and he says echod zeh v'echod zeh, even things that are of significance, they are things that are teunin bracha lachrayim b'mekoman tzorech levarach. Upon changing location, one has to make a new first bracha, new birchas hanenin. So according to Rav Sheshes, whether it be dvarim she'ein tunin bracha achron lachrayim or tunin bracha achron b'mekoman, let's go over that because we said it a little inaccurately. According to Rav Sheshes, whether they be things that are teunin brocha achrona b'mekoman or dvarim she'ein teunin brocha achrona b'mekoman, one, upon changing his location, always has to make a new brocha rishon, a new birchas hanenin. The Gemara now asks a question. This is a long question. You'll notice that's indicated by the kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, with a vertical dashed line that takes you down to the bottom line. As a result of this long question, we will see a problem for Rav Chista's position. The problem will be based on that which we see in a Tanaic source that you can see immediately in the frame. The Gemara will answer at the bottom line that Omar Rav Nachman by Yitzchok, and at the top of Kuf Beis Alav, he says, Man Tana Akiros, who is the author of this source that the Gemara refers to by the word Akiros, which is a central point in the source, who is the author of that particular source? Rebbe Yehuda. That represents Rebbe Yehuda's opinion, and the Gemara will prove that on the top part of Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. However, the Chachomim disagree, and based on the Chachomim, Rav Chisda will have upon whom to rely. So now let us turn to the Gemara and see the entire question. Meisvei, the Gemara now asks on Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda pointed out that items whose brocha achrona in general is to be recited where they ate or drank the item, those kind of items, if one in the middle of eating them changes his location, he does not have to remake a brocha rishona. The Gemara now asks, Meisvei, B'nei Chabura, a group of people, Shoyim Mesubin Lishtois, they were gathered together for drinking wine. V'okru Ragleim Lotzeis Likras Choson Oy Likras Kala. And they got up. There was a wedding procession passing by where they were, so they left their location to greet the Choson and Kala, the bride or groom, on their way to their chuppah. Kishehein yoitzin ein teunin brocha lemafreya. When they leave, they don't have to make a brocha achrona because they're planning to come back. They simply got up quickly because of the passing procession. So when they leave, they don't have to make a brocha lemafreya. It means a brocha achrona. Kishein choizrin, when they return, ein teunin brocha lechatchila. They do not have to make a new brocha rishona. When is this so? Shinichusham Zokein Ochoila, where they left behind an elderly individual or an infirmed individual, probably people that couldn't run out to greet the wedding procession. Avol Lohinichusham Lo Zokein Velo Ochoila. If, however, the people that left in order to greet the procession left no one behind, Kishen Yoitzin, upon their departure, Teunin brocha lemafreya. They can't leave unless they make a brocha achrona. Kishen chozrin, when they come back, teunin brocha lechatchila. They will have to make a new brocha rishona. Midikatoni, from the fact that the source features the expression okru ragleyan, they uprooted their feet is a literal translation, but it seems that they left without making a bracha only because of the immediacy of the situation. Otherwise, they certainly would not have left without making a bracha. This shows us that michlal de bedvorim hatunim bracha lachrem bimkom anaskinon, that we're talking about those kind of items that one has to make the final bracha where they ate. And it's only because of the rushedness of the situation that there was this willingness, so to speak, to leave without making a final bracha. V'taymo denichu sham zokin ochela hu dekashen yoytzen ein tunin bracha lemafrek shen chayzrin ein tunin bracha lechatchila. And it's only because that they left someone behind that we were able to relax the halacha and say no need for a final bracha, and when coming back, no need to repeat the bracha rishona. Aval, imagine the following case: lo hinichu sham zaken ochela. If no one was left behind, kishen yoytzin tunin bracha lamafreya. And here we've emphasized the main point: ukshen choizrin tunin bracha lechatchila. And when they come back, let us say they left, leaving no one behind, and intended to continue eating. They simply rushed out to greet the passing procession. They come back having gone outside, they come back with the intention of to continue eating. That doesn't alleviate the need for making a new bracha rishona. They have to make a new bracha rishona. Kashya l'Rav Chisda. This represents a repudiation of Rav Chisda's position. If we glance at the Rashbam at the bottom, second line from the bottom, Kashya l'Rav Chisda, Di'ilu l'Rav Chisda, according to Rav Chisda, afilu lo chazru l'mekomon, even if they didn't come back to their original place, elo gamru sudasun b'mokom acher, had they decided to complete their meal in another location, in a totally other location, ein tzorach levorach tchila, there is no need to make a new first bracha, hoyo v'adayin lo birech acharein, since they did not make a final bracha, they didn't complete their original eating. Here it's clear that filu chazru l'mekomon arishon, even if they come back to their original place, even if they did not make a final bracha, tzorech levorech tchila. I think we might want to add that in the event that they ran out and intended to continue eating, under such circumstances, it seems from this Gemara that there would not be an insistence on making a final bracha. When the source spoke about the need for making a final bracha in the original place, in the event that no one is left behind, that is talking about a circumstance where they don't intend to continue eating any further. And the source is telling us that they cannot rely on making a bracha achrona somewhere else, since we're talking about dvorim shetunin bracha achrein b'mekoman. That tells us that they have to make the bracha achrona where they finished eating. However, we're adding that if they in fact intended to continue eating, this source would agree that they don't have to make a bracha achrona just for the sake of making a bracha achrona, because they do intend to continue eating. However, when they come back, they will have to make a bracha rishona. That very point is something that Rav Chisda did not agree with. So this seems to be, as the Gemara says at the bottom line, kashya l'Rav Chisda. Omar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman comes to the defense of Rav Chisda and says, Man Tano Akiros, who is the author of this source, which features the issue of Okru Raglehem, which we explained before, indicated that we were talking about Dvorim Hatunin Brocha Achrona B'mekoman. The author of the source is Rebbe Yehuda. This is Rebbe Yehuda, but the Chachomim would disagree. And as such, Rav Chisda has upon whom to base his opinion. The following source shows us that there are these two opinions. And it says, Chaverim Shei Mesubin V'Okru Raglehem Leilich Beis HaKnesses U'Leibeis HaMedrash. People who were sitting and they got up to go to shul or to the yeshiva, and it seems they had an intention of coming back, though. Kishen yoytzenein tunin brocha l'mafreya. When they leave, they don't have to make a final brocha because they intend to continue eating later when they come back. Kishen choizrin ein tunin brocha l'chatchila. And when they come back, they do not have to make a new bracha rishona. This is the opinion of the Chachomim, and it's upon this that Rav Chisda will base his shita, his opinion. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda interjects, and he says, "Bamed v'amamurim." He now qualifies that which the opening of the source said in an unqualified fashion. But this is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion now, contrary to the original opinion. He says, "Bamed v'murim, when is there room to relax the requirements?" That's bisman shenichu sham miktsas chaverim. That's when those that left behind some of those that remained there. Avolo hinichu sham miktsas chaverim. If no one was left behind, then this is what we saw earlier. Keshein yoytzin tunin brocha lemafreya. When they leave, if they don't intend to continue eating later, they have to make their final bracha before leaving. Hukshein chayzrin, and when they come back, tunin bracha lechatchila. And when they come back, they have to make a new bracha rishona. That, of course, is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. But Rav Chisda disagrees. And he can base himself, Rav Chisda, we should say the Tanakhama disagrees, and upon the reasoning or the opinion of the Tanakhama that says that because of the Shinui Mokom itself, there's no need to make a new Brocha. Since we're dealing with Dvarim HaTeunin, Brocha Achrona Bimakomon, there's no need to make a new Brocha just because of the Shinui Mokom. It's upon that Rav Chisda said his Halacha. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.